Welcome, folks. This is Chris Temple, editor and publisher of the National Investor, and continuing my series of kind of recaps and catch-up conversations with our featured opportunity companies. I'm joined this morning on Friday, the 20th of April, by Rudy Franck. He's a co-founder of Seabridge Gold, which, as I said on a recording that we did the end of last year, and actually going to link this together with it, because there was a lot of meat in that one. There's going to be more meat in this one. I don't want to go over old ground and sacrifice a lot of new stuff we want to cover. But as I said back then, Seabridge has long been one of my favorite companies in the precious metals space. It has taken on a new character in the recent past, also as a compelling copper play, besides having one of the biggest undeveloped gold reserves on the planet. So, Rudy, first of all, thanks for joining me again.
Great to be back, Chris, and thanks for the opportunity.
Well, one of the things, and you and I were catching up a little bit before we actually started recording, but one of the things I've always liked about Seabridge, and we just saw it again in the last 10 days, is that from time to time, as the years have gone by and you have continued your diligent work to build up this huge reserve of both copper and gold up in British Columbia, whenever you've done a private placement, more often than not, you raise money at well above the current market price. And you just did it again. You raised a little over $17 million, which you announced back on the 10th of April. And it was at a 27% premium to that day's stock price. That's not usual for most companies. And it certainly is a credit to you and the management for the work that you've done in building ounces in the ground. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, we are fortunate that we have a shareholder base that year in and year out supports us in terms of providing more capital to the company. I think one of the reasons is because of the discipline we've showed over the past 20 years, where, you know, we take dilution very seriously. We will suffer dilution if we can convince ourselves and our big shareholders that that dilution will be more than offset by accretion to ounces. And as a result of that, we have a loyal shareholder base that year in and year out continue to fund us. And the other nice thing, being a Canadian company with Canadian assets, there are some tax-driven finance structures that do allow us to raise dollars at a significant premium to market, which further reduces the dilution our shareholders would normally suffer. So, you know, we're going to keep doing that. You know, as an example, last year in 2017, we issued 3.3 million shares, which obviously sounds like a lot, but offsetting that dilution, we added almost 15 million ounces of gold and 7 billion pounds of copper, thereby increasing our ounces of gold per common share, even after the 3.3 million shares of dilution. So, yeah, we have a great shareholder base, and we're able to raise dollars at a significant premium to market, then put those dollars to work, offset that dilution with accretion to ounces, and continue to grow ounces per share year in and year out.
That's awesome. Now, of course, most of this is over and around your core asset, the KSM project up in BC, as we've talked about. And you announced recently that you're going to be turning that into a year-round camp by increasing the infrastructure and so forth there. But I want to talk specifically, Rudy, about Iron Cap, because it's one of the four major deposit areas at the overall KSM project. It is one that has fairly dramatically overtaken the others in terms of significance and grade. And when we spoke last, you referred back to an economic assessment at the end of 2016, where you said that because of the increasing grades, Iron Cap's helping out the whole picture, that when you look at the copper and silver credits, you were already down to an all-in sustaining cost in your economic model, where gold is concerned, under $300 an ounce, which is astonishing in many ways, not the least of which is that a lot of the investment community that follows metals to this day still look at Seabridge and say, oh, well, that's that. Yeah, they've got more gold reserves than God, but it's low grade. It's going to cost a lot to development. And, you know, when gold is $2,000 an ounce, you know, we'll talk about it again. I don't think any of them understand how great the economics are now. Tell us what the near-term plans are for additional drilling at Iron Cap and when you may next update that economic assessment.
Great question, and you're absolutely right. The market really does not get what we have, and at some point they will. I'm convinced of that. Yeah, so the updated study we did in 2016 showed an all-in cost of production at current spot prices of about $250 an ounce. That updated study did not yet include the additions we made at Iron Cap last year. If you look at the updated study that was done in 2016, Iron Cap is still mined towards the end of the 50-year mine life. As a result of last year's drilling, by adding over 14 million ounces of gold and 7 billion pounds of copper at grades that are significantly higher than our reserves, we believe that Iron Cap has the potential to further improve the project's economics and drive costs even lower. We plan to do one more year worth of drilling at Iron Cap this year before we look to update that study. We still see significant potential to not only continue to add ounces and pounds of copper at Iron Cap by going deeper down dip, but also it appears as we're going deeper into Iron Cap, the grades are still improving, so we may not yet have found the best part of Iron Cap to date. And the part of the financing we just raised is to go after Iron Cap again this year.
That's great. So we're all going to be looking forward to that, and when you update that economic assessment again. I want to shift gears though, Rudy, for time's sake, and talk about Courageous Lake. It's a project that you've had for quite a while. It has a fairly attractive existing resource, but a lot of people don't know about it. I don't know if it's because of just lack of interest. I don't know if it's because people are looking just at KSM and forgot that Seabridge, especially after another addition, which we'll talk about more, is really not a single asset company, but although KSM is the biggest. Tell us about Courageous Lake, because you and I spoke back around the holidays and you were telling me that that's something you really want to get after again in 2018.
Yeah, so Courageous Lake is kind of the orphan in our portfolio right now. We did a lot of work in Courageous Lake after we acquired it from Newmont and Total back in 2002. And by 2012, we actually completed a pre-feasibility study at Courageous Lake that defined a reserve of about 6.5 million ounces. What people forget is that before we even started working at KSM, Courageous Lake at one point in time generated a market cap to Seabridge shareholders in excess of $500 million. The study that we did in 2012 quite honestly showed a marginal project at that point in time. However, if you look at Courageous Lake in the context of today's market in terms of Canadian dollar exchange rates and the gold price, a marginal project in 2012 is far more attractive today because of the weaker Canadian dollar. We see opportunities at Courageous Lake to further enhance the project beyond what we know. We own a 52-kilometer greenstone belt. Our existing reserves sit on less than 2 kilometers of that belt. There are known gold showings up and down the entire belt. In fact, there was an old high-grade mine that was produced there, decades ago. We see the opportunity to add zones of higher grade than what we have at our reserves, which would obviously have a positive impact at Courageous Lake, much like we've been able to show at KSM. So this year, we decided to go back into Courageous Lake. We just finished a winter drill program, and over the next 30 days or so, we'll be announcing the results of drilling we did at six of these targets that we believe can actually have a big positive impact on the project's economics.
That's neat. So we've got more than the updated economic assessment at KSM to look forward to this year, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Awesome. Last but not least, we talked a while back about your big purchase a while back in the state of Nevada from John Paulson, the Snowstorm Project, which is one of the most prospective land packages in that entire state, but one that had only, I guess I'll be kind and call it erratic exploration attempts over the years by people who had a lot of money but didn't really know what they were doing. And John Paulson, as we talked about before, after some lengthy discussions on and off with you, decided that he wanted some ownership in Seabridge and to put this into your more capable and knowledgeable hands, certainly than his were. What are your plans there for 2018?
Yeah, so in 2018 at Snowstorm, we spent last year kind of pulling all the data together that had been assembled on the property over the past decade plus. This year, we now plan to go in with some geophysical programs to help identify drill targets. And if we're successful there, we plan to follow up with some drilling as early as this year on some of these targets at Snowstorm. You know, Snowstorm, when you look at it just in terms of a geographic positioning, the Snowstorm project sits on the intersection of the Getchell Trend, which produced more than 60 million ounces of gold already, the Nevada Rift Trend that produced over 50 million ounces of gold, and the Carlin Trend that's now produced over 200 million ounces of gold, and right on the intersection of those three major gold trends. So from a real estate perspective, it's about as good as it gets. It's a zone that was never in public companies' hands. It was in private companies' hands for the past 30 years. And now we will see what we can do on this property with the exploration team that we have that obviously has been very successful, not only at KSM, but also in their other parts of their career.
That's neat. So that's something. I was just in Nevada, and one of the things that always comes back to me is that that's a state that's almost covered top to bottom in at least some small amount of disseminated mineralization. And it's one that a lot of folks don't realize. If Nevada was a country, it would be the fourth largest producer in the world. So it's good that you have that footprint now in Nevada with this major exploration project. And I think, you know, the strength of that also being that a guy like John Paulson trusted Seabridge to move this thing forward, and I think he's got an interest in the company overall, and the upside that you have is as I always have had. So, Rudy, I appreciate the update. We're going to do this again sooner rather than later. Maybe once you get those drill results out from Courageous Lake. So, thank you so much for joining us,
Chris. My pleasure. Anytime. Thank you.